Well, friends, we are looking at 1 Corinthians 12 today, 1 Corinthians 12. So I'd invite you to turn there. It's found on page 1636 in the Bibles provided for you. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 26. So kind of in the middle of that chapter, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 26. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, beloved in Christ, I'm sure you heard about the three little boys outside on the playground during recess who were arguing about who had the best dad, as little boys do. First boy bragged, my dad, he scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a poem, and they give him $100. And the second boy scoffed, that's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, he calls it a song, and they give him $1,000. And the third boy piped up, I got you both beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a sermon, takes four people to collect all the money. I'm sure you've heard that one. I think it's funny every time. The question we want to ask today, beloved, on this ministry commissioning Sunday is not how does a poet, a songwriter, or a preacher, for that matter, make a living or thrive, but instead ask that same question about the church. How does the church thrive? Three answers for you. They all start with the word serve. Number one, serve humbly, with humility. Why? Because God, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, gives you a job to do. Serve humbly because God Himself gives you a job to do. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Pay attention there to the Trinitarian triune God focus in these verses. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. God the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, God, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work, God the Father. Think about that. As followers of Christ, as the church, you've been given a gift to use, a service to perform, a working to work out, and the triune God gave this to you. He has something unique and special for you to do. How else could you serve him but humbly? The God who created the universe has his eye on tiny little you and gives you a job to do. It's not like God looks and says, oh, is she ever a good administrator? She's earned the right to serve me. No, God gives you the abilities, the talents, the skills, the gifts. God gives you a job. God gives it all to you, not because you deserved it, but because he's a gracious, giving God. Just as God gave his Son on the cross to forgive us, he gives us everything else too. So serve him back humbly. The Corinthian Christians didn't want to serve that way. Forget humility, I will proudly flaunt my service at the expense of others. You hear it in verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In verse 25, Paul says, look, every part should have equal concern for each other. Apparently, there were those who lorded it over others. Maybe some of the people doing fancier types of service, maybe like the preachers or the teachers, and stuck their noses in the air when the nursery attendants walked by. So Paul reminds them, God himself gives you a job to do. Not because you're great and you deserved it, but because God is great and gives to his little children. Paul lays this out again in Romans 12, verse 3, middle of verse. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Don't think of yourself up here. Serve humbly. Why? Same verse 3 says that God has given us each our own measure of faith. Now bring 1 Corinthians back into it. God has gifted us with spiritual gifts and service and working. Those are gifts from God, and we only get them as gifts, we find out in Romans 12, verse 5, because we are in Christ. We only have these jobs in the church to do and tools to perform them because we're in Christ. He won that for us too on the cross. So we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We think soberly, that word is used. We sober up with humility. We splash away drunken pride with the humility of realizing I didn't deserve to be used at all by the God of all creation. I didn't deserve Jesus' death on the cross to save me from my sins. I certainly didn't deserve to be gifted by the Spirit either, or to have a service opportunity all carved out for me, or to have a working in me that I can work out. I didn't deserve to be given a job by God, but by his grace, he gave it to me anyway to turn me into the serving person he wants me to be. When you think of serving humbly, what biblical character do you think of? How about the Virgin Mary? Angel Gabriel comes to her, gives her the news. You're going to carry a son in your womb, Mary. And implied there is your pregnancy is going to really look pretty scandalous. You'll probably be ridiculed or even shunned, and you're going to have this happen without ever having known a man. What's her answer? Humble answer. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. May it be to me as you have said, right? Later she rejoices, my soul glorifies the Lord, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Mary served humbly. There are people here who serve humbly. They don't get thanked for what they do, yet they do it faithfully week in, week out. They do it cheerfully, with humility. They are humble servants in the church. They make Faith Community Church thrive because they know that God gave them a job to do, and they want to perform that job to serve him. Simple, humble service. Think about all the things that need to get accomplished for even Sunday worship to happen. A single worship service. When cards run out in the pew racks, they don't magically get replaced. A sound system does not run by itself. Words on the screen don't appear out of thin air. The children's activity tote cat bags for the kids, they're not self-replenishing. The bus to sunset is not AI-powered, remote-controlled, self-guiding, next-generation Tesla. If you sat and thought about it, all the humble service that quietly happens behind the scenes to make even a single worship service happen, I think it would floor us. These things don't get mentioned, don't get applauded. They just get done, readied, faithfully, consistently, most of all, humbly. Thank God they do, and thanks to all who do them. Number two, serve courageously. Courageously. Because God, the Holy Spirit, empowers you to do your job. Many of us need to hear that, because part of what it means to serve courageously is to actually start serving, to start figuring out what job God is calling you to do. But the wonderful thing is you can serve courageously because the Holy Spirit of God empowers you to do your job. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, now to each one a manifestation of the Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit has given you a spiritual gift or two or three to serve the church, the body of Christ. Verse 11, reading from the Message paraphrase, these gifts are handed out one by one by the Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. Verse 13, again from the Message, each of us is now a part of this resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his Spirit, where we all come to drink. That's just another way of saying that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. Serve courageously. Paul emphasizes it again in verses 14 through 20. Those verses are for people who are scared to serve. They're for people who think, oh boy, I have nothing to offer. I'm not very good at anything. And if I do serve, people will make fun of what I do or think it doesn't measure up. I just don't have the confidence to work in the body of Christ. Those verses object. Yes, you do. Yes, you are. You are a valuable part of the body of Christ. Without you, the church is lacking. Verse 19, if the body were all one part, where would the body be? The body needs all its parts. The body of Christ needs you to serve courageously wherever God has called you to serve. Without you, the church, the body of Christ, is lacking. The Holy Spirit of God has your job, your gift, your service, your working all lined up to be worked out by you. The Holy Spirit is just yearning to course his service power through you, and you're afraid. The passage says, don't be afraid. The body needs you. You've been given by God what this body desperately needs to thrive. Start serving. Keep serving courageously, for the Spirit of God is at work in you. Well, how do I do that? How do I do that? We say somewhat feebly yet curiously, English majors. The first step, pray for God to show you what your job could be. Pray for that. God, Please show me what my job is in the body of Christ. Please show me something I can do that needs doing. Second step, pray for God to get you moving toward that job. Pray for a willingness to serve in that way. And third, just start serving. Sign up. Get on a schedule if it's a job that's already has a rotation of people. Just start. There are a number of folks involved in 222 Disciple. You've heard that before here at Faith Community. It's kind of a ministry that's just running like a computer program in the background. A couple of people had heard about it, were a little tied up in knots about how they could get 222 Disciple started here at Faith Community. They didn't know how to start it. And a mentor for them said to them, just start. You don't need counsel to approve it. You're simply discipling someone. You, a disciple, are teaching another how to be a disciple of Christ so that they in turn will do that for someone else. Just start. And they did. Well, that's how serving works too. Just start. Find a way to serve that fits who you are and start. There's nothing to be scared about. The most powerful person in the world will empower you, the Holy Spirit. So serve courageously. When you think of serving courageously, what biblical character do you think of? And let's stick with our pre-Christmas theme. Isn't it Mary's husband, Joseph? The angel comes to him and says, Joseph, your fiancée is pregnant. And again, implied there is you're going to either look peccable or cuckolded. Okay, that means either everyone's going to think you sinned by jumping the gun, peccable, or that Mary sinned and made a fool of you, cuckolded. But don't call off the marriage. Take her as your wife. Be courageous. Oh, you're also going to be chaste all over the Middle East because the people in charge want the child Mary is carrying dead. But God would rather not have it that way. He's going to redeem his people at the cross through that child. You must protect him at all costs. Do you think you can handle that? What does Joseph do? Wakes up and did just what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. Joseph served courageously. Number three, serve encouragingly. Serve in a manner that gives courage or hope of success to someone else because God gives other people jobs to do too, not just you, not just me, but other people too. Serve encouragingly so that others too will want to serve. That's what verses 21 through 26 are about. They're for those Corinthian Christians who thought what they did as their ministry job was just so much greater than what anyone else in the church did. Those verses were for the proud servants. They need to hear verses 21 through 26, which say, serve encouragingly, for God gives other jobs to other people to do too. Don't say, I don't need you. No, encourage your fellow servants. Listen to how the Message, again, translation on these six verses goes. It's fairly lengthy, all right? We read there, but I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. No matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are part of. An enormous eye or gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you? Or head telling foot, you're fired. Your job has been phased out. Really, in practice, works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part, the parts we mention and the parts we don't, the parts we see and the parts we don't see. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. And if one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. Only as you accept that you are part of that body, does your part mean anything. Isn't that a great paraphrase? How do you make a church thrive? Serve encouragingly, for God gives jobs to other members to do too. Here are some ways to do that. Number one, challenge others. Challenge them to begin serving. If they are serving, challenge them to serve diligently, faithfully, cheerfully, excellently. Not only will they benefit, but so will you, for you are part of the body with them. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good, to enrich the entire body as a means of helping the whole church. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits when one servant encourages another to serve. Second, thank others who serve. Verse 21 says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Well, what should we say then? How about thank you? Thank others who serve. Look for the things they do and thank them. Third, verse 25 says to have equal concern for each other in the body of Christ. That is, care for others. Their pain is your pain. Their suffering, yours. Support them. Care for them when they struggle in their service. Fourth, compliment them and rejoice when they get complimented. Their joy is your joy. Tell someone, wow, you did a good job there. That was great. This area of the body of Christ never looked so good because you're doing such a fine job in serving God there. I'm so happy for you and rejoice with you. What you're doing makes Faith Community Church, the entire body here, look great. Compliment other servants on their jobs and share the exuberance with them. You know who I think of here? I think of Paul. We've gone away from pre-Christmas, right? All those letters to the churches, Paul saying things again and again like, I always thank my God for you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you are doing this. And the challenge to service he gives fills his letters too. Paul is a servant who serves encouragingly. He knows how the body of Christ thrives. He knows he is considered this great apostle, right? But he knows that that's just one task in the kingdom. He knows every single Christian has something by the grace of God to contribute. So his letters overflow with encouragement for his fellow believers. When I think of encouragers at Faith Community, I think of a lot of them. I think of folks who take a second to thank the pastor for his work, for a sermon. I think of card senders who send cards out practically every day to suffer with one who's suffering and rejoice with one who's rejoicing to encourage the other parts of the body. I think of people who can only sit or lie in their bed and pray for this church. That's all they can do physically. But that's what they do for hours each day. Beloved church, think for a while as you fall asleep tonight, maybe. Think about the people of this body who serve encouragingly, who themselves are about the business of serving, and still they multiply that service because they spread encouragement along the way like a highly contagious good disease. As you fall asleep tonight, give thanks for those folks. Hold them up in your mind as models for what servanthood is. Serve encouragingly. You know, these three ways we are instructed to serve will cause Faith Community to thrive. And you know why? Because when this body starts and continues to serve like this, we are giving the glory to whom the glory belongs, to the triune God, giving glory to the Son of God who died and rose that we might serve this way. Glory to the Holy Spirit who empowers us to serve this way. And glory to the Father who longs to see his children be the servants he intended us to be from before the foundation of the world was laid. To the Father and his Son and the Spirit be all the glory. Let all God's people say. Amen. Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving us your gifts, spiritual gifts, for giving us service to enrich the body of Christ, for giving us working that can be worked out as we serve. Thank you, Triune God, that you've done that for us. You didn't just save us from our sins at the cross by what Jesus did and give us the hope of eternal life. No, those are wonderful, the best gift of all. But you said, I want those people to serve me in the meantime. In the meantime, before I return to usher in a new heaven, a new earth, I want them to serve and make the church the body of Christ that it is supposed to be, so that the members certainly are enriched and grow closer to Jesus Christ, but also so that neighborhoods can be renewed and faith can be reached out with so that others may hear too. So, Father, help us, cause us to be a church who serves in these ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.